What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I don't know what it is, but it's phenomenal.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
What, am I missing something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The reality is, humans are humans are humans, and that's never going to end.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
It's a big, big deal.
Hello. You speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
60% of the time, it works every time.
I've done the math on this. We've talked about it on this show before.
That's a fact.
If you learn a little something about yourself.
That's us, dude.
That's why we're radio shows.
That's right.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Let's do this. Discussing issues that matter to you. Finding real answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now, here is your host, John Rush. And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, John Rush, Dan Muir. Did you learn anything from Jamie there, by the way?
Oh, man, I learned a lot from Jamie.
We learn like every week.
I know, it's incredible what he knows. And then, you know, things you never think of. As a matter of fact, he showed me that lower back stretch
before he
left.
I should have saw that.
It's pretty simple.
Should have while. I had to.
I can't even show you, John.
I had a phone call I needed to make real quick. So lots going on at the top of the hour.
It's a busy place around here.
A lot of stuff going on. That's exactly right. All right. Up next, we've got Andy Goss, who is with us on a monthly basis. I'll lock him in. Andy, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you?
Thank you, John. Thanks, Dan.
Andy, it's always a joy having you. Really appreciate all of the just the great insight that you give us. You know, every single time you're on, we get great, great comments, and I mean that sincerely. I don't think there's ever been a time that we've had you on that somebody didn't either follow up with either a text message while we're on air or a follow-up afterwards saying, man, I always learn something when Andy's on. So, first of all, Andy's always got stuff to give away, so let's just get started right off the bat. So what are we giving away today, Andy?
Well, I think Uncle Sam Cooke's The Books is in order. You know, given the circumstances in Washington these days and all this talk, I don't know if you heard this new bill being put forward to set up a Resolution Trust Corporation for America's failed pension. Now that's going to end up costing taxpayers a fortune.
Yes.
So Uncle Sam Cooke's The Books would be a good title to give away.
All right, so we'll give that away. Yeah. What number do you want them to call, Andy?
Well, to get the book, you know what? Let me think there. I prefer to give you the books and let you give them away.
That works for
me.
Okay. Yeah, that works. Okay, so here's how this is going to work, folks. I'll get the books from Andy. All you have to do is call Charlie, 303-477-5600. Tell Charlie you want a book. We'll put your name on one. Simple enough. Uncle Sam Cooke's The Books. So, Bitcoin, Andy.
And we'll do another giveaway before the end of the show.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So, talk to us about Bitcoin, something that I know a little bit about. I mean, I've researched it some. I know something about it. I'm not an expert in it. So, please give us some insight.
All right, so let's try to take it from a simple perspective. Back before the Federal Reserve came into existence, just anyone could issue a note that said it's $10 or it's a dollar, right? And needless to say, Chicanery ran amok. And so they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put all the gold in a central location, and then we're going to give you these pieces of paper, the Federal Reserve note, and you'll be able to bring them in and cash them in anytime you want. And the reason why they're going to maintain their value is because the supply is going to be limited and fixed. There will only be one $20 bill for every ounce of gold. Sounds fair, right?
Sounds fair.
Yes.
Only they didn't. They closed the gold window in 1971. By then, gold was $40 an ounce. So they had issued nearly twice as many overall $20 bills as they had $20 gold pieces. So the first trust was broken. And then from that day to this, they didn't even say there would be gold backing it up. There would be nothing backing it up. We don't need anything to back our money. The supply is fixed, and the demand continues. then it will hold its value, right? Economics will, a professor will explain that to you. If there's a limited supply of dollars and a reasonable demand, it will hold its value.
Correct.
Regardless of whether it has any substance or not.
Correct.
These are what they call Keynesian economics, from that very famous John Maynard Keynes, who would be a lot of fun at Thanksgiving. However, now we're being told, we don't need the paper anymore. This paper has gotten to be such an issue. Now we're going to use a new electronic form of money, the Bitcoin. And where's it going to come from? Computers are going to make it. Okay. And what gives it value? Well, there's a limited supply. There can only ever be 21 million Bitcoins. Is that the number, John?
Okay. 21 million?
Yeah, that's the number, as I understand it.
Okay.
It reaches its maximum point. That's it. And from there, we start bringing the zeros backwards in Bitcoin value. So you start expressing how much something costs, like 0.00001 Bitcoin. Since it's all electronic,
right,
it doesn't matter. What has happened in the last 4 years is the people that sponsored the thing, obviously,
right,
the ones that are mining it, you see, they set up computers, and these computers solve algorithms,
mm-hmm,
and in exchange, they're given Bitcoins.
Right.
That's how they get into circulation.
Right.
Once they get in, then people trade them. Hey, here, take my dollars. I want to buy Bitcoin. Why?
Right.
Because I heard it's going up. It's going up. It's going up. I heard it's going up. Well, what are you going to buy with it? Nothing. Well, what are you going to do with it? Nothing. I'm going to hold it because it's going up.
Mm-hmm.
Already, folks inside the Bitcoin world, the miners that mine, there's already one group called Gashto that has cornered 51% of the computing supply.
Wow.
Yes, 51% of the computing power, the hash power,
okay,
is in one organization's hands already. And they're saying, well, you know what? Hey, if Bitcoins are so hard to mine and there's only 21 million of them, after we've mined them all, how are we going to make any money?
Great point.
What we need to do already, what they're saying we need to do is increase the supply of Bitcoin.
That sounds familiar.
Sounds really familiar.
Doesn't it?
Jeez.
It does sound familiar.
These guys work for the feds?
I was going to say, yeah, right?
Yeah,
let's just digitize some
more. Multiply that by 1,200, 1,500 separate new companies that, hey, let's do a John and Dan of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Right? Let's do that. And they call it whatever, Ethereum. I've heard so many different ones that,
yep,
of course, every other day a new one is coming out.
Right.
But what the Bitcoin brought to the market, which was, you know, brilliant and genius, is the idea of an open ledger, the,
yes,
Google Doc, right?
Yes.
An open ledger,
yes,
and transparency and non-centralized, well, what we'll call for that purpose, the blockchain.
Right.
And blockchain technology being so, you know, you can't patent electricity, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
Once,
yes,
someone knows how to create it, they can create it. Well, it's the same with blockchain. Bitcoin doesn't own that technology. In fact, all of the banks, the central banks of the world now, are going to adopt this blockchain technology,
okay,
and the open ledger, and they're going to use it to transfer dollars and yen and the main currencies of the world. And with that, it's not going to end pretty for Bitcoin. So I would say if you're a person who got into Bitcoin early and you've ridden it up to 7,000, back down to 5, and you're wondering whether or not you should bail out now.
Get out.
I think you should. I would bail out if it was me. And having said that, if you're a person who has never bought Bitcoin before, like you didn't buy it when it was 30 cents. You didn't buy it when it was $10. You didn't buy it when it was $100. You didn't buy it when it's 200, 500, 600, 1,000. And now that it's $7,000,
mm-hmm,
you think it's time to buy. Well, I would urge you again not to do that, but,
yep,
do what you wish. I think, see, for me, I've never gotten away from the first broken promise, and that was the,
yep,
there's only so much gold for every note issued. And for me, ever since that promise was broken, I won't take another. Money, is for me, is gold and silver coin and nothing else.
That's
what Thomas Jefferson said it was. That's what it was for 5,000 years. And it seems like every time we get off on this paper scheme and now an electronic scheme, it always ends the same way with far too many of these electronic or paper units,
yep,
and not enough,
yep,
meat behind them.
That's right.
And that's that's my Bitcoin nutshell.
All right, hang tight. We'll come right back. Andy Goss with us from U.S. Gold Coin. Don't go anywhere. Andy will still be with us. If you got a question specifically for Andy, by the way, give us a call, 303-477-5600. Coming up next, it's Front Range Mortgage. They've got the ability to get you into a mortgage, even if your home needs some fix-up work. So you need Grandma's handyman. Get them in, do the fix-up work, wrap it all into one mortgage, and according to Andy, as much as you possibly can, use that money for whatever you can. We'll talk more about that today, but call Front Range today, 303-500-1900. Talk to Brian Murphy. When you do, tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Brian Murphy here with another mortgage solution that may help you or a loved one. Many Colorado homeowners have recently been stopped from completing a refinance as their home is discovered to have items in need of repair. Most lenders will stop these loans from closing unless the homeowners pay thousands in home repairs out of their own pocket before they're allowed to close the loan. This is a terrible catch-22 as most people can't afford these home repairs until after the loan closes. We have a solution. At Front Range Mortgage, we have a rare mortgage program that can allow you to complete your refinance even if your home has no known items in need of repair, allowing you to complete these repairs after you close using the loan proceeds. If your home has items in need of repair, or if you've already been turned down by another lender, call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to get you closed your home as is and get you the money you need to repair and renovate your home. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com.
NMLS number 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Group Insurance Analyst, Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984. Business, home, health, auto, Medicare, life, dental, and more. Compare and shop for all your insurance needs. Call today, 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Goss with us again from U.S. Gold Coin. And Andy, by the way, has a great website outside of the U.S. Gold Coin. It's andygoss.com. You can go there, check out the different things that he's got to offer. And it's G-A-U, Charlie just reminded me, spell last name, G-A-U-S-E, Andy, G-A-U-S-E. And Andy, again, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. You're always a wealth of, not always, you are a wealth of information, and you always do us a great duty when you're here with us on Rush to Reason. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks. Those are kind words. I appreciate it.
New Fed chair, talk to us.
Jerome Powell, you know, he's a Carlisle Group guy, you know, friend of the boys, Dollar Inc., always has been, always will be. Nothing anti-establishment there. I'm very surprised Donald Trump. I guess he's finally playing ball. I don't know what to say. You know, he could have picked a real maverick or an outsider that might have shaken things up at the Fed, but not a chance with Jerome Powell.
He's pretty much status quo, is he not? Am I thinking of that correctly?
Yeah, he's Janet Yellen with pants. Wait a minute, she wears pants. Well, he's Janet Yellen without the dress. I don't know how to describe him except identical to her policies is probably a good bet. And this idea, forgive me for interjecting or changing gears, but this idea that the Fed is going to unload its balance sheet, I think he may revisit that decision and decide, well, maybe that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I may be completely wrong in my thought process, but I see him doing nothing different than what's been going on, and I would say that until that particular person leaves and somebody else comes in that's much stronger and would actually do some cleanup work, I don't see much changing from what we've had in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Am I right?
Well, to a point, yes. I mean, we've had falling interest rates for the last 6, 7 years, right? And so we've lowered the rate to next to nothing.
Well, but pretty stagnant. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but pretty stagnant for the last, what, 3 years?
Oh, goodness, yes. Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen hardly any movement one way or the other. I mean, yeah, this year even we've gone up, I don't know, what have we gone up, a half a basis point total this year? Is that it?
Yeah, they effectively doubled interest rates from nothing to twice nothing.
Yeah, nothing, you know, to nothing twice up is we're still half a point, you know, above. I mean, it's literally money is still as cheap as it's ever been in the history of the
country. No. They're paying you to take money.
Exactly.
They're paying you now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you look at it this way, the dollar that you had at the beginning of this year when the U.S. dollar index was at 102, here at the end of the year is worth 95. And so the cost of living, the cost of goods, has increased dramatically, although it's not reflected in the CPI and the PPI, the government numbers are cooked, So they don't reflect the true rate of the increase in the money supply. And hence, they don't reflect true inflation. So if you can borrow money now at an interest rate of, goodness, what's a 30-year mortgage? Did you see this? 3.75.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, under 4.
So if you're sitting there thinking how proud you are because you paid off your house, I really think you should reexamine that attitude.
Okay, so stop there for a minute. And we've had this discussion before, but we get, you know, new groups of listeners in on a, you know, pretty routine basis. So for folks that maybe weren't listening the last time we had you on and we covered this, which I think was a couple of months ago now, so it's been a little bit since we actually discussed this. For those that are listening that maybe just ran into the curb when they heard what you just said a moment ago, because most of them are driving, explain what you mean by what you just said.
The mortgage interest deduction is the largest single gift ever given to American taxpayers.
Okay.
There is no other. And if your house is paid off, that means you're paying maximum income tax on your income. You're not offsetting it at all. And if you think you're saving your money after, because you paid your mortgage, now you're going to take this extra money and save it. How absurd is that? You're going to pay tax on it, then you're going to save what's left. Whereas if you simply took a mortgage, let's say you want to save $100,000, here's my plan to do it. Go get a mortgage for $100,000. Put that money wherever you're going to save your money.
Okay.
And start making payments on it, especially at 3.75%.
Right.
How long will it take you to save $100,000 after tax? So you earn a dollar, you pay your 30 cents, 40 cents. Who knows now? I mean, where what bracket
right.
you're in.
Right.
So you're paying a third or more in tax on the dollar.
Right.
It leaves you with 60 to 70 cents.
Right.
And you put that in your savings account. Instead, you take $100,000 now, put it in your savings account. Now you've got the 100.
Right.
If you're going to invest in something, do it.
At less than 4% interest that you're paying on that $100,000.
Yeah,
that you can also take and write off.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You can write off what it costs you effectively from your income tax because that interest payment is fully deductible. And you notice Congress is going after it.
They are.
And you also notice, I mean, this is the first time in the history of the world that they've ever suggested that they're going to take this away.
Right.
So, but if you notice who they're taking away from, well, that's we all new mortgages. So existing mortgages, guess what? They're exempt.
Right.
They're grandfathered, right? So if you don't go immediately, if you don't immediately call your mortgage guy immediately and equity strip your home, then something's wrong with what you're hearing. It's either I'm not communicating it correctly or you haven't looked at it lately, but the worst thing you can do is prepay your existing mortgage or pay it off, God forbid, ahead of time. For me, take that money and invest it in something real, and you'll be much better off in the long run.
Okay, so Dan's got a question. I want to come back to that last comment you just made. Dan, go ahead.
Well, my question is, and this is more of a political question, but if you're trying to stimulate this economy, this sounds like the dumbest thing ever to get rid of the mortgage interest deduction.
That's right. Yeah, no question. 30% of our base is housing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot for the life of me figure this out.
Makes no sense. Well, and granted, what the first proposal the House had was...
The guys that want to take your money.
Yeah, well, and again, the first proposal that the House had, and Andy, you know this as well as I, was to cap the deduction, and really it only affects about, you know, really the negative effect is probably 2-3% of the population have,
that's right,
you know, mortgages that are that high.
But it's
the principle of it, I think, and here's the reality of it that I keep thinking, Andy, is as much as anything. It's like, wait a minute, if you're only making this change in the tax code to affect about 2.5% to maybe 5% of the population, let's go after something that really matters. Leave that alone and don't even get the press over it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, literally, if that's all we're really going to affect, let's not worry about that, not take the bad press, which, by the way, as Republicans, it's really stupid to even be going there in the first place. Let's go after things
that
really do matter, and let's get some good press out of it. Now, I think my own thought process, and I may be wrong in this, but I think some of the reason, Andy, some folks don't do what you're talking about with, you know, either upping their mortgage or doing a reverse mortgage and then taking that money is they don't know where to invest the money. I think that's part of the problem.
Sure. Well, listen, what do I say all the time, right? Don't ask a barber if you need a haircut. Like, don't ask me what to do because I'm a gold and silver coin guy. I'm so much a gold and silver coin guy that I started a gold and silver coin company way back in 1981. I've been bothered that long about this whole circumstance. So for me, the answer is obvious. You buy gold and silver coins, you find a safe, you put them in there, and regardless of what happens to the entire world, you have a safe full of gold that you can turn to and put yourself in a better position.
Okay,
and you can't afford gold. You can buy silver.
Makes sense.
You can buy an old
Harley.
You can buy an old guitar.
Now, when we come back, and we got some calls coming in, but even before we go to break, Andy, one thing I want to ask you real quick is, are there, you know, and if they called you, I'm sure you guys would walk them through this, but are there specific types of coin, you know, gold or silver that they should buy, or does it really even matter?
Oh, well, sure. You know what? The Pikes Peak $10? Yeah, that's a great coin to own if you have the means.
Okay.
Did you know that? We talked about it, right? There's a $10 gold piece with Pike's Peak on it.
Yes.
There's a wonderful coin to own, especially if you're from Denver. So, yeah, that's a great coin to own. Hard to find, very expensive. But there are $20 gold pieces made in the 1920s that you can buy for just a little squirt over their gold content. There's no reason to not look at those, or the old silver dollars that were made right there at the Denver Mint and the Carson City Mint, the San Francisco Mint. They were made out of silver. They're 100 years old. They're a great buy. They're not expensive. They're like $20. If it's big money, you can buy something like a Pikes Peak gold coin, if you can find one. I think $30,000 for just
All right, before we go to break, we do have a call coming in. We've got somebody that maybe is not, doesn't really know the math that you just gave real. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you just missed what Andy said.
I know.
You've talked over it. What did he say? He said he'd pay $30,000.
I heard that.
Holy cow.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Yes. I heard that. All right, John from Islands Ranch. You're on with Andy Goss. Go ahead, John.
Hey, so I'm trying to figure this out, right? So you can borrow money at 3.5%.
Correct.
You get to deduct the 3.5%. Big whoop. If I have a paid off home, there is no opportunity for the bank to come in and take my home from me.
Let's look at that for a minute because that's a valid point, right?
Go ahead.
So if you own that house outright, that is your house, and the bank is not going to come and take your house, correct? That's your thought.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, of course, if you miss your tax payments, they will.
The government will come take it. Yeah.
Well,
if you're an elderly person
pay the county
and you can't pay your property taxes, I would urge you to go get a mortgage and pay your property taxes.
Yes.
There's no question.
Yes.
I would totally agree. Let's
take you in 2008. Forgive me. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. You're in 2008. You've paid your house off completely. You paid $200,000 hard-earned cash for that thing.
Okay.
Your neighbor right next door took 100% mortgage and can't pay. Okay? The bank comes to him with a rescue and a bailout. The value of your house and his house will plummet as it did in 2008. Now, you've lost money for not participating, and you can't turn to the bank and say, recast my mortgage, give me a better deal. You know, they were forgiving principal. They were actually
giving people back. You're right, Andy. I knew people that happened to, so you're exactly right.
Yes. But not for you, my friend.
No, not
you
me. I paid the full off. Tilt.
No, that's right. I'm talking to our caller. You paid yours off, so there was no one that you could turn to and say, hey, I've lost my life savings now because my house is worth half as much as it was. I poured my life savings into this house. Help me. You know what you got?
I'm with you. I hear you.
Say that again, John.
I understand that. You don't really own your house, John. That's the thing. If you think you own it, don't pay your taxes, and you'll see who really owns it. You're just renting, really. So get used to it, accept it, embrace it, and make money from it. Because if you take some equity from your home and buy an equal piece of property, you'll be twice as rich, right?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. For me personally,
to use as a blessing.
The security of owning the property and knowing that I don't have to deal with the bank is worth
long as you can pay your taxes, my friend.
Yeah,
as long as I can pay my taxes. Yeah.
Having the ability to keep the tax man off my door is more important than keeping the bank off my door. You know, if you take your equity from your home and you stock a safe full of gold, that gold will always be able to pay your taxes. It will always be able to pay your living expenses. If this nation enters a Great Depression, where the value of the dollar plunges to nothing, and recession is everywhere, and there's no jobs, no employment, no way to work, a 2008 times five, because we are five times as worse now, five times as bad as we were in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So if that comes again, having your house paid off will be worthless. You can't at that point go to the bank and say, hey, would you loan me the money now?
That's a good point.
They throw you out. I tried to get a mortgage in the winter of 2008 to buy the home next door to mine for 60% of what it sold for 2 years earlier. I'm in the New York metropolitan area. They would not give me a mortgage. The house, they wouldn't give me a mortgage at, under any circumstances at any rate. So, you know, you can't do it then. And certainly having that cash, even if you don't buy gold, and you just park that money in your checking account, tie it to the mortgage payment, it would last you 20, 30 years, last you the term of the mortgage, I bet. And, you know, you if you're an elderly person and your home is paid for and you're finding it hard to make ends meet every month with Social Security and other bills and payments, debt is a blessing for you. And you should definitely consider a reverse mortgage or a new mortgage.
Good
no
point.
Question
so,
about it.
Yeah.
It,
so
paying your house
I
off doesn't have
you.
The same meaning that it used to.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I can agree with you that there are situations where it makes sense, but I don't think a blanket statement saying, oh, you know, you should max out the value of your home in a mortgage and take that cash and go do something useful with it or put it in the safe or whatever.
Well, but if you, John, here's where I would come back and I would disagree with you real quick, Andy. Let me jump in. Where I would disagree with you on that, John, is if you're somebody that's been good enough to manage money to pay your house off, you are somebody that would be good enough to go buy another rental property and then also do the same thing with it and make money with your money rather than just sitting there and do nothing with it. Because if you're able to pay your house off, you can manage money.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that was so well said.
Well,
for the caller, let me back your point up for a minute. Credit like this is like a chainsaw. It's a tool, right? And yeah, it makes you work a lot faster, but boy, if you don't know what you're doing, you'll take your leg off with a chainsaw. And the same is true of credit. If you don't know, if you're not a good manager and a good steward of money and you know you're not, maybe a mortgage isn't for you or a chainsaw.
Very good point. Hey, guys, we got to take a quick break. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Andy, hang tight. We got another question coming in. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. U.S. gold coin, that is up next. Now, as we just heard Andy talk about, if you want to buy some gold coin, we have got the place for you, and that is U.S. gold coins. All you have to do is go to usgoldcoins.com or call 1-800-468-2646 and make sure you tell them you heard them on Rush to Reason.
On September 13th of 2017, Congress decided to raise the national debt ceiling and issued almost $600 billion in bonds. This means every dollar in the world will be worth a little less, while everything else will be a little more expensive. It's called inflation, and there is very little we can do to stop it. This is scheduled to happen again in December. If the government can only make $600 billion last for 3 months, how are we supposed to expect them to keep our economy afloat forever? There is something you can do about the rising tide of inflation. Andy Goss from usgoldcoins.com wants to teach you how to protect yourself against inflation by collecting valuable gold and silver coins. That's why as a KLZ listener, Andy's offering to give you his three CDs, The Federal Reserve, The Definition of Money, and How to Protect Your Wealth, all for free. All you have to do is go to usgoldcoins.com or call 800-468-2646 and mention KLZ. Stem the tide of inflation and secure your future with real, authentic, and very valuable U.S. coins by calling Andy Goss at 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646 today.
John Rush selects only the best of the best auto repair shops to become Colorado Select members. He chose Extreme Auto and Larry's Auto as members of Colorado Select Auto Shops because he trusts Dennis Brewster and Jeff Kitty to improve the auto repair industry as a whole just by being themselves. Colorado Select shop owners help their customers by helping each other, an extremely unique perspective in the auto industry. You'd likely never see an auto shop loan a tool or offer helpful advice to another because they want to beat the competition, not help each other out. But the owners of Colorado Select member shops are different. Dennis and Jeff know each other and all of the Colorado Select shop owners personally. And Extreme Auto owns so many expensive tools, Dennis frequently loans them to Larry's. And Dennis doesn't hesitate to ask for help from Jeff when he runs into a tricky transmission problem. Take advantage of the combined expertise of the best mechanics in the business by choosing a Colorado Select member shop for your next vehicle repair. Select the best at Colorado Select.
Welcome to Save Our Soldiers, an ongoing feature from the Crawford family and Crawford Broadcasting to inform veterans about opportunities and assistance programs in their area.
MakeTheConnection.net, a nationwide online community, connects veterans, their families and friends, and other supporters with resources and solutions for addressing the issues veterans face every day. For veterans, when you experience PTSD or other mental trauma, you will find someone who can keep you grounded and reassure you that you are not alone. For families, when your spouse struggles with depression and substance abuse after returning to civilian life, you'll find the words to start a conversation about seeking treatment. For supporters, when you've been in their shoes and know that sharing your story will help, you can reach out to individuals who will benefit from hearing how you conquered your own challenges. All you have to do is make that connection at MakeTheConnection.net.
Brian Murphy of Front Range Mortgage joins KLZ in supporting, saluting, and applauding U.S. veterans. For links to anything you've heard on SOS, visit 560thesource.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And this is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Goss with us again. You can find Andy at Andy Goss, G-A-U-S-E. .com. We got a call coming in real quick, Andy, from Susan. Susan, welcome. What's going on today?
Hi, John. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Susan.
Nice to have you, Susan.
Hey. Well, good to be here. Hey, I have a question for Andy. Andy, I think you've already answered my question is what to do with these, but I have several silver dollars that were passed down to me from my mom and dad. And how do I find out the value of these? From what you're saying, okay, you're saying so, to keep these if you have them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You should keep them and maybe buy more. In your favorite bookstore, you're going to find the 2018 in the hobby section, Guidebook of United States Coins. And it comes out every year. It's like a 71st edition. But I would tell you that an average silver dollar with $17 silver, a used one, of a common date. You see, the trick here is some of the dates are very rare. Like an 1894 silver dollar from the San Francisco Mint is worth like almost $700 in decent condition, while an 1879 from the San Francisco Mint, much older coin, is only worth $20. So it's not the age, it's how many were made, the supply. Mm-hmm. So I would urge you to write down, if you turn your silver dollar over, just above the O in the word dollar, you're going to see a little mark, and write it down and the date, and take a trip to the local big bookstore. You know the one I'm talking about. I won't say their name.
Yep.
Not the local bookseller.
Yep.
Unless you're going to buy a book, then you go to the local bookseller. But if you're just going to read like a library, go to the big one and open the red book and look up your dates and go to the average grade. Don't go to the best because you'll be disappointed unless your coins look perfect. If they do, please call me. By the way, and I don't care how bad they are, how nice they are, I'll buy them. You can't get them anymore, and the rarer ones, that's why they're worth so much money. So I want everyone that's listening to know, I think you should buy gold and silver coins. However, I do. I write checks every single day, and there was a very famous minting firm in Denver in the 1860s that became the Denver Mint. They were Clark and Gruber. And right there in the Denver area are coins that I know in desk drawers, in sock drawers, in safety deposit box that are worth tens of thousands of dollars. And people don't even recognize it because it's just a little nickel-sized $5 gold piece. There wasn't much silver that's worth a lot from the Denver Mint, except if you were one of those lucky people that hung around the Denver Mint in 1964 when the silver dollars that John Kennedy authorized were struck and then quickly melted, you may have a piece of history.
So 1964 Kennedy half dollar, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 1964 Kennedy silver dollar.
Silver dollar.
A $1 gold piece dated 1964 D. It's like the unicorn.
Wow.
We've heard about him.
Wow.
We know Kennedy was going to put us back on the silver standard. You know, that's, we won't get into that. But, you know, if that lone nut hadn't killed him, we would have changed our monetary system. We would have cut the Federal Reserve out. And we would have been a nation without.
Boy, he had a lot of enemies, didn't he, Andy? He had a lot of people wanting him to stop that agenda.
Wow.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, that's not something. Boy, Lee Harvey Oswald did them a good service.
He did.
Wow.
He did them a solid, much the same as the other presidents that were assassinated. But I digress. I'm sorry to take you off the subject. If you'd like to learn more about your coin's value, you can call our 800 hotline. I hate to say it's 800 hot coin, but there it is, 800 hot coin.
It works.
And say, hey, I've got this coin and I want to know what it's worth. Not only will we tell you what it is, what it might be worth, we'll make you a cash offer. So I don't care how expensive it is or how rare it is. We have collectors all over the world that are clamoring for U.S. gold and silver coins. So if you don't have the means, maybe you can find the coin. Who knows?
Awesome. Okay. Susan, does that help?
So you said, yeah, it does. So you, because I have quite a few, and I do have some from the 1800s.
Awesome.
So I'll
take advantage.
I'll need to go through.
Yeah.
During the day tomorrow, give us a call.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Very
and
cool.
Look at the O and the dollar. Is that right?
Yes. They're just above the O. In the word dollar, it's written out, $1, just below the eagle on the back side.
Yep.
It's tiny, so you got to look there, but there's a little mark there that tells you which mint it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know that and the date on the front, then you can look it up in any red book. It's not rocket science. Unfortunately, many coin dealers want you to think it is. It's not. It's simple. You see the date and the mint mark, you can figure out what the coin is.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Good.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Andy. Appreciate it. Thank you, Susan. All right, Andy, we'll take another time out. Don't go anywhere. Our last segment with Andy's coming up next. If you got questions for him, please let us know. 303-477-5600. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. Drive with confidence this winter. Go to Extreme Auto Repair. So you hear Andy talk about confidence with gold and silver and the economy and the things that are going on. We can do the same thing with your vehicle at Extreme Auto Repair. 303-841-1071. Call them now and tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Thanks to Extreme Auto Repair, I can stop stressing out about my car breaking down. You see, I don't take very good care of my car because I don't know how. Most of the time I drive around hoping my car will still run tomorrow. As terrible as that sounds, when it's freezing cold outside, that fear gets a lot worse. Honestly, I just want to know that my car will work. I need someone I can trust to give me a professional opinion about whether or not my car will make it through the winter. Because I listen to KLZ, Dennis Brewster told me he would take a look at my car for free. He'll ask one of his techs to write a report with advice about what I should fix. I want to behave like a responsible car owner. I just didn't know where to start. Now I'll get a clear picture of what I need to accomplish so I can actually drive with confidence. You can be smarter than I was. Instead of vaguely fretting about whether your car will keep going all winter long, find out what your car needs now at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker.
AAA Solar is looking for retirees who want to earn extra income while setting your own work schedule. You won't need to climb on roofs or install solar panels, but you can earn as much as $50 per hour helping people make an educated decision about going green by meeting with prospects in their home or our office. No previous sales or solar experience needed, as AAA Solar has an excellent training program to help you succeed. Call AAA Solar today at 303-975-4908 and ask about the job opening you heard on KLZ. 303-975-4908.
Are you buying your first home?
Or are you right-sizing or downsizing for lower maintenance or a lock-and-leave lifestyle? This is Pamela Meyer of Denver Home Navigators with Keller Williams. I can help you discover and reach those goals. This is more than just real estate. It's about your life and your dreams. Call me today for your free consultation at 303-506-0106.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Dan Muir, Andy Goss with us also from USGoldCoins.com, one of our great sponsors. Andy, we've got a call coming in, so I'll get him up right now. Wiley, you are next. You're talking to Andy Goss.
Hey, I've got a question about tax tokens. Are they worth anything?
Yep, they're not worth a lot, but the same thing. That's called exonumia. And there's a whole collecting field for
okay,
that.
Okay, well, time out. Whoa, everybody, time out. First of all, explain to us young guys what a tax token is.
Well, it's something issued by municipalities primarily in the 1930s to pay taxes.
Okay.
So, you know, they were fractions of a cent. In many cases, they called them mills. But, caller, they're not worth a lot. But there is a collectible society of those, and who knows, in the future they may be. But I'll tell you, what is worth something, and there in Denver at the Mint in 1914, they struck like a million pennies, right? And they scattered them all over, as you can imagine. They're all over Denver. Well, because of the caller we were just talking to, I went and grabbed the Red Book from 1972, and I have the current one from 2018. So in 1972, people already recognized how rare that Denver cent was, and according to the Red Book, it was worth $30. Here we are in 2017. In case you think it's just gold and silver, and that same penny is now worth $300. Okay, it's not that the penny or the tax token or anything else got rarer. It's that the dollars that are used to purchase them are worth less, and that will continue into the future. So if you hold that tax token, it becomes more collectible. Mm. If you hold that penny, it becomes more collectible. And if you need a few bucks, go get your penny jar and get a Red Book and start pulling out, because there's a lot of pennies made in Denver. I mean, from 1924, the Denver Mint penny's worth $20. How many of those can you handle? So look through your coins. Don't ignore them.
Okay. Wiley, does that help?
Yeah, it does. I've also got two Indian head pennies. One is from, I think it's 1892.
Yeah. Yes, if you look in the book, you'll see it, even in its worst condition, that's like a $3 coin.
Really?
In middle condition, it's like a $20 coin. And again, this has nothing to do with the gold and the silver. This is a copper penny from 1892. So it is purely the numismatic or collectible value,
right.
where the big growth occurs, because people realize how rare these things are. I mean, who'd have thunk, right? A penny from 1914 made it to Denver Mint would be worth $300 today in 2017. But there it is, the purchasing power of the penny. I mean, back then, you could actually buy something with a penny, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Today, that's what the tax tokens were all about, you know, a fraction of a cent. And so you can't – how are you going to pay a half a cent tax?
Well, right.
The municipalities issued these tax tokens, and
got
they're
it.
All different towns and all different states. And they're quite alluring to some collectors.
Interesting.
And I believe in the future they'll be worth more.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Wiley, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it very much. Charlie, do you want to say something? Do you want to add? Okay. $300 for a pen – or $3 for a penny. That's a pretty good increase in what the penny cost back in whenever it was 18 whatever, right?
Yeah, well, that penny is from 1892, and, of course, long before the Denver Mint, all you had there was in 1892. That was 30 years after Clark and Gruber set up their little gold refining operation. That was the year of the Columbian Exposition. And a penny, man, that had some purchasing power. You could get tons of candy for it, a lot more than you could when I was a kid.
All right, one thing that we haven't got to yet, which I was very curious of, it's in the notes, but I was as curious as probably anybody else out there listening, Andy, is Have we reached peak gold? I mean, is there an actual finite amount of gold, and are we close to that at this point?
Well, according to the mining companies, we are. You know, we've had record gold prices over the last decade.
Right.
I think in 2011, when everyone was really concerned about the banking system, gold went up to $1,900. So it's not like there's no incentive. People are mining for gold everywhere, everything from little mom-and-pop operations on TV
right.
to big, giant, massive corporations. So we're mining wide open, and the amount of gold we find every year just keeps going down. It's on a chart. It just keeps going down. So have we reached peak gold? The miners think we have. And unless there's some major new gold find, it would take quite a few of them to make up for the losses that have occurred.
So it's the opposite of it's basically the opposite of oil, where we keep finding more and more and more oil. In this case, we're finding less and less and less gold.
Yeah, but they did tell us about peak oil, if you recall. That was, you know, we're out of oil.
Problem is they were wrong.
I believe that.
All right, we're out, Andy. It's gone.
Oh, yeah, sure. Uh-huh, sure it is. All right, one last call that we'll squeeze in here before the end of the...
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, we'll squeeze one last call in before we end the show here with you, Andy, or with this hour with you, I should say. Dennis, you're up next. What's going on?
Sure. Hi, John. I've got a question for your guest. I've got a coin that says it's 0.999 pure silver. I think it's about an ounce.
Yeah, it's probably a token. It's because all of our silver coins were made 90% pure silver. So the ceremonial coins, this is the new American Eagle, perhaps, a 1 ounce gold coin with a walking liberty on the front, silver coin also. So
no, this was a privately minted coin from a multi-level marketing scheme by the name of Financial Instruments. I wonder if it has any collectible value.
Probably no collectible value, but like all solid money, if it's made of silver, it has silver value. So that's the key about being paid with money that keeps its value with it. They can't debase it by issuing more of it. So if you're only relying on the numismatic or collector value of that thing, probably disappointment. But the silver, that'll always be worth something. So that's just as if you were holding a block or a bar of silver. Although it might have been paid a lot for, you know, those multi-level marketing schemes when silver was $4. They were marketing it up and ended up selling it to people for $8 or $10. And all along the chain, people were splitting the profit, right?
Right, right.
And so they went bust, and it's the end of the story. Ha ha, last laugh is on them, because even at $8, you've more than doubled your money. You know, silver's like $17 today.
True.
So as long as you're getting a product like this, even if you pay too much for it, even the people that are buying silver and gold coins on late-night TV at full retail will ultimately get ahead. It's just the way it is.
Okay. All right. Dennis, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. Andy, gosh, with that, we're out of time. It always flies by when you're on with us. We appreciate it.
At warp speed.
Yeah, it's just awesome. So andygause.com. It's G-A-U-S-E, usgoldcoins.com. Andy, give out your phone number one more time.
Sure. It's 800-468-2646. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I'll see you again from
Sounds great.
Sunny South Carolina in December.
Sounds great, Andy.
Thanks,
man.
Happy
Appreciate
Thanksgiving.
It. Yep, really good stuff. Appreciate it very much, Andy Goss. And as you can tell, if you got a question on a coin, call Andy. He knew some stuff today. I'm like,
and if you want one of those
token?
Books, I think we've got a few of those books left.
I think we do
left.
Have
those,
one or two left.
Yeah, those coin collector books. So
we
give Charlie
a
call.
We should go look at the top of the hour and see.
We'll make sure, yeah. But give Charlie a call.
Announcement, so. All right, and any other free things you want, Uncle Sam cooks the books. Call Charlie. Let him know. We can get those out to you as well. 303-477-5600. All right, and Grandma's Andy Man coming up next. If there's things around the house you need done, whether you're handy or not, they can just come in handy to help you out. Because you know what? This time of year, things get busy. They get hectic. And we did find out they don't hang Christmas lights, but they have people that they know that do.
Yeah, so if you have a hard time finding somebody, give Grandma's Handyman a call. They'll refer the right person to you.
GrandmasHandyman.com, 303-693-3003.
For the past 13 years, Grandma's Handyman Service has been helping Coloradan seniors do all the little jobs that need to get done. Grandma's Handyman has always been in the business of helping seniors just like you. We even still offer a 10% senior discount on labor off our already affordable prices. Don't leave your projects undone for another day. Grandma's Handyman is here to help you. Call to set up an appointment at 303-693-3003. That's 303-693-3003. 3003 or find us online at grandmashandyman.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And just showing Dan my new iPhone 10.
Yeah, I got to hold one of those. That's pretty nice.
iPhone 10. It's a nice phone.
That's a nice looking phone.
I don't have my case or anything on it yet, but yeah, they do a nice job.
Yeah, how's the case going to work on that with a wraparound screen?
It'll just come up like the edge or something. I don't know. My son picked me up one at the Apple store, so I'll grab it from him tonight
or
tomorrow.
That's a really nice looking phone.
Not bad. And Charlie's got the little wireless charger in there that I just set it on a minute ago, and it charged right up. So he's the Samsung guy, so he had the Samsung already wireless charging thing because they've had that for a while. Apple was a little bit late to the game in that area, but Apple only does it when it's perfect.
God.
Not before then. I'm serious.
You Apple owners are so obnoxious.
They don't
Apple
do it until it's
does
right.
It when it's perfect.
I mean, look at this piece. It's like a piece of art I'm holding in my hand. I mean, it's just a fine piece of machinery that you can hold in the palm of your hand. 256 gigabytes. This thing is faster than the first computer you and I used 10 times over. Probably 100 times over. Because the first one I had like 1 meg of RAM in it. 1 meg. Not gig. Meg. 1 meg of RAM.
One
that
MEG.
Was it. And if you wanted more than that, it cost a fortune. It was back then, like 2 megs of RAM was like $300
bucks
or
something.
Yeah, but
come on. We all did well with the Commodore 64.
A Commodore 64. Texas Instruments? Is that what that was? I don't know. Anyways, we got another full hour coming your way. Okay. Jenna Ellis is going to join us, our Rogue attorney, which, by the way, driving a Nissan Rogue this week. So it's interesting. Got Jenna coming on, driving a new 2017. Or this might be an 18 Nissan Rogue.
Wow.
I didn't look at the year on this one.
Sounds pretty nice.
Yeah, so very cool. So, and by the way, next week with Jamie Atlas, we will start doing a little short segment at 4 o'clock talking about some of the new cars that both he and I drive on Wednesdays as well. So one more full hour coming your way. John Rush, Dan Muir, Charlie Grimes, our engineer. We'll be back with Jenna Ellis right after this. Don't go anywhere. This is not Drive Radio. Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason.
In the drive time on KLZ 560.